Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2. It's John and Lance.
I destroyed.
John's you. Ripping Coors Light families apart.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Klay Thompson's answer when he was asked, are you going to be a Mav next season? Did you see this?
No. Is it like Paul Skeens' answer when he goes, man, Connor Griffin's going to be facing the Pirates for a long time. Never went to Pittsburgh. Went. Huh? He's just telling y'all what you already knew.
Yeah.
He ain't going to be there. Well, what did Klay say? What did old-ass Klay Thompson say?
Is he still
with Megan? Del? Did you check with the culture? Is he still with Megan?
He is? Okay.
Have you checked with... I put it in there, Del. First, though, let's get to Colin Cowherd. And see if you agree or disagree.
Colin and Chris Broussard or just Colin?
Colin and Chris Broussard.
Okay.
Colin and Chris Broussard had a conversation about the Rockets. And I know Dream Shake doesn't agree. Okay. But I don't agree either. Here is what Colin Cowherd thinks of this year's Rockets team.
The Durant thing is interesting. Last year, the Rockets were second. They add Durant, they're fifth. Love him, but it does, you know, sometimes I think we think all great players are leaders, and they're not. Like some great players don't want to be leaders. A lot of them. They're not the quarterback you need to be. Where are you on the leg? Because let's just say they win the first round and they get extinguished, which I think they would against the Denver or San Antonio and Oklahoma City. I think they'd lose to Minnesota. What are we going to make of Kevin Durant in Houston?
Well, this is a mess. It's been a mess. And I know they've gotten up to the fifth seed. They've won, 50-plus games. But it has been terrible. You said it. They were the second seed last year. They brought Kevin Durant in to be the missing piece, right?
Right.
Like the final piece to the puzzle that can get us a championship. And now they're a worse team. So this has been horrific. And it's been so bad, Colin, that the expectations have been lowered to the point where if they win this first round and then get beat by OKC in the second round, which of course would happen, everybody would kind of be like, hey, at least they won a round. Like, that's how low expectations have fallen. And as you said, Kevin Durant is an all-time great scorer, an all-time great shooter, but he's not a leader. And when you look at some of the top, people want to push him into the top 10 all time. I say no. He can be in the top 20.
Top 20 all time.
That's the one thing I agree with everything in there, but top 20 all time. I mean, he's in the top 20 all time. I have to lay it all out to take a look at it. I feel like Kevin Durant's probably top 10. Certainly top 10 offensive talent.
Talent for sure.
Without question. But James is also in there too.
Yeah.
James isn't a top 10 player all time, just offensive talent.
Right. And that's probably Kevin Durant. Although Kevin Durant did play. I think it been absolutely horrific? You agree with that?
Well, no, I don't know. They don't seem as cohesive as a team.
They don't seem as cohesive they as don't a team, seem but as, it's not absolutely horrific.
It's clicked up.
And it's not.
No, but they needed a 7-game, they were close to being a playing team. We give them a pass because they won at the end. They were close to half forget, being a play-in.
A lot of team, but okay, that's fine. But you have to play the whole schedule out because the other teams played easy teams earlier.
You're what, a half a game away from being a 7 seed?
Well, the other teams played easy teams earlier.
Yeah, that's true.
And the Rockets got their easy part of their schedule at the end.
Yeah, that's true. But they also beat up on easy teams. Well, they also got a lot of their wins against the easier teams this year.
Yeah.
They weren't as competitive.
No, they were not. They were not great against good teams. No.
No, second half of the season, they just weren't as competitive. And frankly, there was a point in the season, there was a delineation between the good playing together Rockets, and then this other thing that we've seen for, you know, a 50 plus a 50 game run. It's just different. It felt different on the court. Responses, reactions to each other were different. The energy was different. The defensive intensity was different. It was just not the same level of consistency.
Yep.
You can live with, you know, we used to be able to live with up and down offensive stuff, but the defense, the intensity, the brotherhood, like you knew what you were getting with the Rockets. Felt a lot like the Texans, frankly, the Texans defense. That's what the Rockets felt like. Last year, you knew they were going to be in your ass, and they were not going to let you have. It was not going to be fun for you. It was going to be a tough run. And actually, the Rockets last year and the Texans this year, there's a lot of similarities there in terms of offensively, you know. But now you got a much better offense. I say much better. The numbers, Dell brought up the numbers the other day. It actually looks relatively similar.
Yeah,
the numbers last year to this year look relatively
similar. But that's not what you were looking for, though. You were looking for a step up.
No, I'm not looking for the regular.
Yeah, right.
I'm not looking for it to look similar and go from a 2 seed to a 5 seed. I'm not looking for that.
That's the disappointing part, is that it's very similar to last year. Even though you were a 2 last year, you're a 5 this year. Teams are better this year. Okay, and look at this is, and we've said this a couple of times. San Antonio is where the Rockets thought they were going to be. That's where San Antonio is. San Antonio has a chance. They look really good against Oklahoma City. That'll be a great, if that's the Western Conference Finals, that will be great, because San Antonio has a chance to actually upend Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
How many, this is really, really bad. How many guys do you think averaged on San Antonio, averaged double digits in scoring a game?
3?
7. And 1... And Harrison Barnes is 9.9. So they've had 8 guys.
How much does Wimby average?
How much? 25. He averaged 25.
Yeah, 3 is probably low. I would have said 4.
What do you think is their minutes per game? What's the highest minutes per game they have?
47.
31.
No, 47 was a joke. 31, and they're all hitting double digits?
31, 30, 30. Wimby averages 29 minutes a game. 23, 22, see, now, and that, they're all averaging double digits.
That is on that's going to fall on the coach.
No, that falls on the
GM. Fall on?
They're not deep enough.
They're not.
They do not have.
Not Jeff Green.
Dorian Finney-Smith. You can't put him on the court. I mean, this is on the GM. When you don't have depth, it's the GM.
2 minutes. You can't steal 2 minutes here and there.
Their eighth guy plays 25 minutes a game.
Do they have a Fred hurt? See, the Fred stuff you can't use because you knew going into the season, so it doesn't matter.
Their ninth guy plays 21 minutes a game.
Well, they obviously go deeper.
Hello? Yes.
Well, let me ask you.
Why are they so much better?
Let me ask you. Alpi's got, so how many of those guys are max dollar guys like KD if we're going to play this game?
Well, they're not. So
you've got one guy, the Rockets, taking up a giant chunk. You got another guy taking up a pretty good chunk in Alperen Şengün. I mean, take the Spurs' 2 highest paid players, take the Rockets. You can build deeper teams when you don't have over $80 million committed to 2 players.
I don't think $80 million would bother them, tell you the truth.
Well, I'm saying it's easier
because they've got a lot of young guys that are playing really, really well.
Well,
Castle.
Some of that is on. Look, you could play Jayshon Tate if you want to. Jayshon Tate's not going to kill you. You could play him 5 more minutes a game, 4 more minutes a game. You could have. You had opportunities to play guys a little bit more minutes. Yeah, Finney-Smith has been a big terrible miss. You are a giant minus when he is on the court. Offensively, there's no question that's hurt them. Because he was supposed to be a big part of, but you know, they just don't go to Aaron Holiday. Has Aaron Holiday looked like booty juice every time he's on the court? No, but he just doesn't play. He doesn't get a play.
I know.
Aaron Holiday looks fine to me. He doesn't get a play. So, I mean, that's on Ime. Is that on Rafael Stone that Ime doesn't play Aaron Holiday?
Well, there's a reason he doesn't feel like he should be on the
what
court.
What is it?
He's
a better defender than Reed. He hasn't played poorly when he's been in the game. He's been a decent player. I'd like to know what it is. We've had this discussion earlier where we were like, why isn't Aaron Holiday playing more? I don't know. It's just an Ime decision. That's just what it is.
Well, I don't know. Is Aaron Holiday going to give? Is he a championship type player?
I'm not. That's not what the argument is. Is could you have you could you have cut some of the minutes down? Yeah, I think the, his minutes per game right now is 13.7 minutes a game. He couldn't have played 16 minutes and got and had minutes at the one end of two. You couldn't have had a few more minutes in there for him. More than 13.7. I mean, look, he shot 41% from the field. He actually, it was his one of his worst years from the field over the last few years. From three, he was 39%. I'll take that all day long. You know, he's an 85% free throw shooter. He's for his career, he's a very good free throw shooter, so it doesn't really matter.
So,
but I'm
so
just saying, I feel like
Spurs
Aaron
have the Aaron Fox that makes $37 million. Vassell makes 27, Barnes makes 19, Keldon Johnson, Victor Wembanyama makes $13 million. Right. This is a great job by their general manager to get one of the best players in the league for just $13 million.
That is what their cap guy's incredible.
You see what they're doing over there that we don't do?
Their cap guy's incredible. Let's take a look at the Rockets. 54-7. Is their top guy, Kevin Durant, followed by 33.9, so basically 40. So now we're at 94, almost 95 million in the first two guys. Well, I'm sorry, 87, 88. Yeah, so we're close to 90 million with your top two guys. Fred VanVleet doesn't play, that's 25 million. Steven Adams doesn't play, that's 14 million. That's 39. I mean, your top three guys are 58, 59, 113, 114 million for your first three guys. It makes it a little tougher to fill out a roster, if we're being honest.
Right.
But
well,
you do have.
Wait a minute. They still got a lot of young guys that were top picks that are not making huge
Josh Okogie's a 2-2. Jay Sean Tate is a 2-2.
Ciampani is 3 million.
Aaron Holiday is a 2-2.
Castle is 9.5. Dude,
are these
Cornette is 11.
No, these are cap
picks. They still got a lot of guys that are not hitting second contracts, right? But they're getting contributions.
I will say, Jeff Green is a complete waste of time on that roster. A 39-year-old off the bench, he doesn't play. What in the world? I mean, that is taking up a roster spot with somebody that could have been a more viable option. That is. And my guess is that's on Udoka.
Well, they've got theirs too. Bismack Biyombo. They got Mason Plumlee.
How old are those guys? 39?
Plumlee's as old.
No, Plumlee's not old. He's in his early 30s at the oldest, if he's even that. Plumlee's not that old. I mean, Jeff Green is 39 years old. The only reason you have
36.
Him, Plumlee's 36 now?
Yeah. He's been around a long time.
Holy crap, we're old.
Yeah.
The Plumlees are that old now?
Yeah.
It seemed like they were just at Duke duking out.
Yeah. Anyway.
Wow. Well, I mean, yeah, that's an older one there. But Jeff Green at 39, that's clearly Udoka wants and
I don't know.
Likes his presence.
I got some Spurs envy right now. That's all. I mean, I love look at what they've done.
You know, Finney-Smith makes 12.
They did get Wembanyama. That helps a little bit.
Well, why do you think the entire half of the NBA is trying as desperately as they can to be as terrible as they can?
Well, but there's no Wembanyama.
Adam Silver, no, but. But, you know, the chance to turn your franchise. And Adam Silver's just, Dell and I talked about yesterday, he's just like, God, I just want my guys to play and for my teams to try to win. No other league has massive attempts to lose for more than half the season.
Right.
No other league has that where the players just go, you know what, Jalen Hurts just isn't playing today.
I'm just
not going to play today.
How about 168 players sitting out Friday night?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's,
168.
Well, part of it is tanking. Part of it is
we don't have anything to play for. Yeah, nothing to play for.
I get that.
Well, but you hate that in your league. There were only like two games that meant anything that whole night, and everybody played. Only two games that meant anything. It was that's not great. All right, 713-780-3776 is your number if you want to get in here. Golden Nugget is what we're talking about now. The Golden Nugget Lake Charles is the perfect place that, I mean, it can't be situated any better because, well, we don't have gambling here. We don't have casinos here in the state of Texas. So what's the closest? Louisiana is right there, just 2 hours, 15 minutes down the road. And what is right there when you drive into Louisiana? The Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Look, there are other casinos in Louisiana They ain't as good. They don't keep their hotels nearly as nice, their casino nearly as nice, their golf course, their pool, their 12 restaurants, 12 Landry's restaurants. Are you kidding me? A concert venue that has great shows coming up for you. You're looking for this the place to go to get your gamble on where you don't have to fly. You don't have to all the time that it takes to fly, all the expense that it takes to fly. By the time you get to your hotel, I mean, honestly, you want to just do a day or two? That it's no, there's no question the place for you is Lake Charles. Even if you're doing 2, 3, 4 days, you'll never get tired of it. Golden Nugget Lake Charles. I love it. It's one of my favorite places in the world. Go. GoldenNuggetLC.com. GoldenNuggetLC.com. Back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776 is the number if you would like to get in here with us. 713-780-3776. That's good for her. I'm looking. The headline, WNBA draft pick Ozzie Fudd headed to Dallas Wing. Same team as her girlfriend, Paige Beckers.
Oh, they're on the same team?
They're on the same team. Well, we knew they were on the same team.
No, that's not what that means. I'm talking about, are they on the same squad? Are they?
Yeah, same squad.
Yeah.
They're on the same team, right?
They're on the same team. They're on the same squad.
They're fighting for the same team.
Is this a good thing, though? If they're both of them, not that it matters, both good-looking, whatever. But you and I were looking at Ozzie phone, like, hey. This
hey.
But is that really a good thing?
No, it's a bad for
you. Don't really
bad
wanna,
for humanity.
No,
you mean overall
no, no,
for
no, no. I mean to be on a team with your girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever. Like, what happens when you if you break up? The amount of pressure to stay together if you are on the team together.
Yeah, well, I think some of that.
That's
happened.
Like work relationship,
I think
right?
Some of that happened with the Comets back in the day.
What's well, not great were, if that happens?
There were a lot. There were some hard feelings there.
It happens in the workplace all the time. You have two people who get together in the workplace, and then it can be like, you bring your drama from home to the workplace.
Yeah,
that's you know, it's not great. So I don't know. Yeah, this seems. I think it'd be better if they were on separate teams.
I think so too.
And I mean, if separate they were on squads. The other
team, I think it'd be better for both of them if they were on the other team. But they're on the same team.
Have you met men? Well, you think it'd be better for them if they were on the other team? Have you met a man before?
No, it's probably best for them. Right. They can catch.
You know, I mean, they're both really good-looking girls, women.
You can go.
So that'd be
when
fun.
They're shooting but from distance. You have somebody to run down your rebounds and throw it back to you.
Yeah.
It's not just your relationship. Yeah. It's not just your partner. It's your teammate. I mean, that's a positive. I mean, until or
what
unless things go wrong.
What if she was open in the corner and you didn't hit her? Okay.
You're going to hear
about
it later.
Well, they played at UConn together, so they might have worked that stuff out as far as how to feel if you freeze her out on a possession.
Yeah.
I will say, knowing what I know, being married as long as I have been, there are sometimes things can that you don't expect to become issues.
Yeah.
So it could, you know, there could be some times where Paige is like, what is your problem? I just saw the way, you know what? I called your name for a hit ahead, and you didn't throw it to me on the hit ahead. And it's like you threw to her. What is it? Are you trying to say something? Like, what are you trying to say here?
You got something going on with her?
Yeah. That could happen. Got 100%. I was open for the hit ahead twice, and you didn't throw it to me. You dribbled once all the way up.
I don't know.
Like, are you mad at me? That could happen on the bench. Are you mad at me?
Is the hit
what are you mad about?
The hit ahead, is that something that you picked on purpose?
No, you just throw it ahead. You know, somebody's ahead of you on the fast break, and you throw it to them. You advance the ball quickly with a pass.
Oh, yeah.
But instead of passing to Ozzie Fudd, she threw to a different teammate. Or maybe she just continued to dribble, and Ozzie's like, throw it. I got an open lane to the basket. And you know what that's going to turn into? Are you mad at me? What did I do? Is this still about last night? Like, because this is maybe what, you know, me and my wife could potentially do if we played basketball together and she was any good and I had a good meniscus. Like, just, you know.
Yeah, just you projecting. Weren't on a scooter.
Yeah. So, I mean, you could get into those, you know, any relationship has certain relationship pitfalls. We all know what they are. And now you got two women on the same team.
Oh, man.
You could potentially have little
dust
up. Did
they want to be together, you think? I would think.
What do you want to eat? Of course, they'll both be, if it's anything like my wife, they'll just be both paralyzed with no answers. Where do you want to eat? I don't know. What do you want to eat?
Is that the most paralyzing thing for a woman?
You tell me. Does Wendy do that? Do you have any issues with Wendy?
No, Wendy always picks the most expensive place.
Well, that's not great either.
No.
So, you know what? In that case, I'd rather have, I don't know, give me choices.
I'd rather have paralysis.
My wife will go, give me choices. So I'll give her like five choices. And I already know going in, they're all going to be no's. So what I'll do is I'll throw four for sure no's. Get the no's, as many no's out of the way as I possibly can. As many no's. And then I come up with three that I think, okay, this is where we need to settle in at. Because if I throw those out too early, they turn into no's. So I got to get the three that I want to go to. We'll tuck those away. Here's some easy no's for you. Just shoot these down because it makes you feel better. Just say no to everything I'm doing. And then, oh, well, what about these three? And if that turns into no, like, I'm not, I'll just eat at home.
So, I tell you, like, last night I was here. My wife is still in L.A. Uh-huh. And I FaceTimed her about 8:30, 6:30 there. And she's in her office still. She's eating tuna off of a paper bowl. And I'm like,
wait, what?
And she's eating tuna. She made some kind of tuna thing had brought to work some kind of tuna thing.
Oh, like the bowl like you get like a picnic type of thing.
Well, she's got a paper bowl.
Okay, what's the problem?
Why are you? So when I'm home, we're going to the Boulevard Steak. We're going to Alta. We're going to these really nice. And when I'm not there, she's eating tuna off a paper plate. No, bull. That's a load of crap right there.
Yeah, that is scandalous.
Yeah, no.
That is scandalous. Or as Twitter would say, that's diabolical.
It's scurrilous. She's from Louisiana. Yeah. Then what did Carol Coxhotter say?
Never trusted him.
You can't trust him.
He never trusted those swamp people at any point that he trusted.
Scurrilous.
That is scurrilous behavior. Just think about that.
I know.
When you're there, it's a big-ass payday for the wait staff.
It's a big payday,
for the wait staff. When you're not there, all of a sudden, now we're eating tuna packets and a tuna packets
off a paper plate,
off a cardboard bowl.
Oh my God!
What are we doing?
I mean, I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's not right.
No, that is certainly not
right. What'd you say? You must have said something.
I did. I said, "What's this garbage? What are you eating? When I'm home, I gotta cook, or you gotta go to the nicest restaurants now." Oh, my God. 713-780-3776. 8:30. Time to talk right now about Zadig. Time to talk about the wonderful people.
Yeah, wonderful people, the Zadig family. It's like the whole family is over there. And the family, when you marry into the Zadigs, you're marrying into five decades of unbelievable jewelers. Five decades of jewelers that have become basically the unofficial, but should be just the official jeweler of the city of Houston. Just unbelievable. People have known about Zadig for years and years. They've been on Post Oak forever. They moved, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, they moved into the 1801 Post Oak Boulevard location. Phenomenal. I know Uchiko is over there. You maybe have gone and had lunch or dinner there, and then you said, oh, that's Zadig? Yeah, two stories, 28,000 square feet, that's Zadig. It's unbelievable. They've got the bridal section up top where they help you with the entire bridal process. They will educate you on the ring, the setting, the stone, everything about it. They'll work with you to find or work with her. Maybe you say, look, I'm not trying to make this a surprise. I want my future wife to pick out the ring. We've talked about it. I want her to get the ring that she wants, and I want her to love the setting. Good. Bring her in. They're ready to work with her too. So whether you're trying to surprise your loved one with a great gift or you are looking to have them come in and help pick it out themselves, Zadig Jewelers is there to work with you. You just bring in whatever your budget is, and they're going to work with you to find the best they absolutely can with jewelry like with necklaces and tennis bracelets and earrings and rings and everything in between. luxury watches for men and women. It's Zadig Jewelers.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
6-11, a 6.5 ERA for their pitching staff. 6.5. Last in the league in on base, last in the league in hits, last in the league in runs allowed, last in the league. Last in the league in average. Just garbage. Well, we do have injuries, though, right? We do have injuries.
Well, but, yeah, but, you know what? The good news is five guys are on the injured list. That's the good news. After 17 games, that's the good news?
Well, but don't ask Carlos about that, okay? Because Carlos ain't having none of that. And I like it.
Don't make excuses.
Yeah, I like it. Although it is a reason. You don't have Hunter Brown. Okay, you would not have lost 8 in a row if Hunter Brown was
in the rotation. No, that's true. That's true.
If Emi would pitch like he did in game two, his second start. I mean, you know, but he's got fatigue. He's Japanese, and he's got fatigue in three games in. That's almost impossible. We've got the only Japanese player ever that's had fatigued. They have 8-hour workouts in Japan. They throw 1,000 pitches a day, and dude is fatigued three games in. But don't tell Carlos it's because of injuries. Here's Carlos.
Everything goes through injuries, you know what I mean? I don't want to attach our failures to just injuries. Our failures are because we're playing shit baseball. Simple as that. There's no way around it. There's no excuse. It's just we're a good club playing bad baseball, and that's what's happening right now. So we just got to go home, regroup, make adjustments, and play better.
How about that?
Oh, good.
I like that.
Yeah, honesty.
I do. I like that. We're playing shippy baseball. And they are playing shippy baseball.
Uh-huh.
That ground ball to first base was unacceptable. Burroughs stops and watches him catch the ball. If he'd have hurried, I guess he had a chance. If he'd have run up, grabbed it, and dove to first base, he had a chance. Burroughs, that you're a major league pitcher. You cover first base when the first baseman has the ball play. He's playing a ball. And then it led to a 3-0 deficit. He had some bad. He pitched into some bad luck. There was a pop up to center field. The Trammell was running as fast as he could. It was the perfect place for a pop up. Fell right in between them. And then Donovan got a little flare at third base. I mean, there were plenty of instances, but still, they suck right now. They just suck. It's just awful.
They're
to
not
watch.
Able to sustain pitching for 9 innings.
No,
and it's one thing to have a hiccup here and there, give up a run, a 2-run homer, or whatever. The implosions, 2 implosions a game. They usually have 2 implosions. It's not just one. It seems like in a lot of these, there's 2 stretches where they have the crooked numbers, at least 2 innings and sometime more. And it's just, you know, it's hard to overcome that. Even though the bats on the whole have been better, without question, right now your pitching is the worst in the league. And I was, from the outset, I was very concerned about the pitching, very, very concerned about the bullpen, very concerned about the starters. It's been worse than I even anticipated. I anticipated Emi being at least average, and Burroughs like, okay, this guy's in the, you know, he'll be no worse than a 4th starter, which even if he's not pitching well, you know, like a 4-5 ERA. Like, I thought that they would be a mediocre starting staff is what I thought. I thought Hunter would be great. I didn't have a lot of faith in Christian Javier, not a ton with Lance McCullers. Got excited when McCullers had a good start. But the problem is, unfortunately, Javier's turning into what I was really worried about. But the other two guys, Burroughs and Emi, are not, like, they're not, they haven't done, they're not doing what they're supposed to do. When you brought in, you brought in Bolton, he hasn't done what you don't have anybody to step up. Like, and you don't, it'd be one thing if you had to go to the bullpen and the bullpen like they did last year. You know, the bullpen early last year, they were hanging in there for you. You had a bunch of guys stepping up, and, you know, you had Ort to a lesser extent and Okert, and all these guys were basically doing their jobs. Minor league hitters were coming in doing their jobs, and you were battling your ass off. And this year, It's just disasters from the pitching staff. Blue Ball, Weiss, Abreu, just some awful, awful appearances from these guys. Ryan Weiss has got to do something.
Yeah.
He's got to get a lot better than this. I mean, and then Josh Hader, you can't turn to him because this year, frankly, he wouldn't be a closer. You're just leaning on him. You're just having to throw him out there sometime just to get some work. Like in the middle of an 8-game losing streak, he would have had to come in. Well, he might have been in instead of Abreu when you lost on Saturday. That's probably what would have happened is he would have been.
Abreu. Ugh. This is so bad. So bad. I mean, I hope. You know what? They've had such great. I don't know how they can possibly keep the attendance. This is getting like, you know, they have had great fan support here for the last 10, 11 years. It's been great.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they can sustain it with playing baseball like this.
Well, I mean, nobody can. People don't go to the park for a team that loses. And just as expected, once the team starts to go sideways, a lot of the attention was eventually going to fall on Jim Crane. Like, people are going to turn on Crane because, you know, why don't we have those good players anymore? And my whole thing, John, and I mentioned it yesterday, I'm going to say it again since you're here. If your model is we're not paying most of our – we're not going to pay market free agents, what we're going to do is draft, we're going to develop, and then we're going to try to get some of those guys to take early deals so we can extend the window by a couple of years. That's what we want to do. Have a guy for about 8 years or longer if we can manage it, but at least 8 years. We'd like to do that. Then your drafting has to be great. Your development has to be great. If you're letting these guys go and you're not trading Yordan for prospects, you're not trading Kyle Tucker a year earlier, although you get a good, it looked like you got a good player for him, which you pretty much had to do. That was just, you can't miss on that. You're not trading Bregman, you're not trading Fromber. I get it, you're still trying to compete, but the reality is there's a lot of teams that if they had moved them, they would have replenished their minor league system with a bunch of Cam Smiths. And then what would your team look like now? I brought this up yesterday. I'm the bad guy. People get mad, whatever, because you always get mad about this, you some of you guys. But, I mean, you really should be having internal discussions about moving Yordan. And the reason's simple. You don't really have stars coming up on a minor league system. You don't really have you're not considered a strong minor league system. Yordan would bring a haul. He'd bring an absolute haul. You're not going to give him his next contract more than likely. He is a guy who's had injury issues. None of us would like to see Yordan leave. That guy's fun to watch. He's a killer. But he also, just like when the Mariners had to get rid of Randy Johnson, you know, they actually brought in three players. Two of them became – one of them was an all-star. One of them, I think, was borderline all-star in Guillen. And then you had Freddie. Both of those guys, Garcia, you had two guys who really – you know, helped to reignite them in some ways. They traded Ken Griffey Jr. Ken Griffey wasn't a trade. He was just a free agent, right? Was he a free agent or a trade?
I don't know how it went.
But they moved Alex Rodriguez.
They got rid of Rodriguez. They got rid of Griffey. They got rid of Johnson.
And then they tried to rebuild that way. You don't have a lot of, like, who are the teams going to want? They would love Hunter Brown. He'd probably bring you the most. But Yordan's right there with them. But after that, you've run out of people that other teams want. You don't have anyone that anyone wants if you're the Astros. Who do you have?
No. Well, you didn't expect this, though, out of this pitching staff. That's the problem. Yeah, I didn't expect this out of the hitters, and I didn't expect they could not have foreseen that they would have the worst pitching staff in baseball.
I mean, look.
This team, if they had decent pitching, this team would be in first place in the division.
I tried to sell you on the pitching not being very good because you knew you had Hunter, which was great. But Burroughs, you know, you're working off spring and you're working off last year. He should be better than this. But you did have a Japanese pitcher coming in who had never pitched in the major leagues. Javier should never have been counted on. Like, you were hoping for Javier to be good. But there was really no signs in spring. Not really.
No,
his MPH just hadn't gone up. You couldn't have counted on.
You couldn't have expected it to be this bad, though. There's no way.
Well, that's because
one expected it to be the worst in baseball.
But the bullpen has been bad.
But you brought in some guys that you thought you had some hopes for. I mean, Brian Abreu is not supposed to be this bad. Ryan Weiss is not supposed to be this bad.
They're worse than expected, but it can't always be better than expected.
No, but but just be what you expected.
But the Astros,
not this bad.
But it does happen. You can't always have everything as a little bit better. Like, you can't expect everything to be what you expect or better than you expect. There's a lot of times, especially in bullpens, because it's a transient position. Guys have good year, bad year, bad year. Good year randomly for the Angels. That's what the bullpen is.
Did you
a bunch
want
of guys
them to get rid of
the
Brian
place.
Abreu while he's in arbitration?
But what I'm
so
saying is...
So you throw
is,
him out there because he's of his track record, and you didn't expect him to be the worst pitcher in baseball.
No question. But you had no margin for error with this team. This was it going into the season. You have very little margin for error on your starting stat, with your starters, and especially with your bullpen, considering that you don't have plus guys in your bullpen. I mean, you hoped Ryan Weiss would be the guy. Hader wasn't there. Where's your margin for error? And especially in the lineup. And the lineup has not been the problem. You don't have margin for error. Guess what? That hasn't been an issue. What happens when the lineup gets
margin
cold?
Margin for error with the best offense in baseball.
What's going to happen, though, but they're playing? You think it's going to stay this
being,
way?
My point being, you could not expect this to have happened this quickly with this rotation.
But you could not have expected this out of this lineup either.
Well, no.
So it's kind of balanced out.
It hasn't balanced out. They're still the worst team in baseball.
No, you expected this many runs?
No, it hasn't balanced out, though.
But what I'm saying is the runs are really high. The pitching's really low.
I know.
Well, one has been really good and one has been really bad.
But the one that's really bad has overtaken. No matter how good you are, you can't overcome this badness.
Well, I mean, you also have
and you didn't expect that.
Two of your guys, you have injury prone guy. You have what's becoming a systemic issue with arm troubles in this organization. This is now a systemic issue, and whether it appears that way, if it's people throw curveballs, youth baseball's killing America, spin rate's the devil, throwing as hard as you can as often, whatever excuses, and I don't want to say excuses, whatever your theory is, I don't care what it is, until you figure it out, the Astros are now being disproportionately hurt by this. And it wasn't the case for a long time, but starting with, Urquidy's banged up, they lose 2 years for Verlander, McCullers is hurt again, we're used to that. Luis Garcia's gone. He's gone forever. Christian Javier's gone for 2 years, and might as well make it 3 years. And now we're into year four with Christian Javier. This is disproportionately hurting Astros pitchers. And that was a young – and, dude, we were – Javier and Garcia were going to lead this team into the future along with Hunter Brown. You had three young, relatively young, guys in their prime. They were going to cruise. All you had to do then was, you had Urquidy, you just had to have a young pitcher come up. Just keep growing young pitchers and you'll be fine. You got Javier locked in for a while. You got young Garcia. You got club control over him. You got club control for a while over there. You got Framber Valdez still throwing for a couple of years. Like, in 2022, your thought was, look at all these young – you just locked up Javier. Man, look at all the young pitchers they have. Javier, Garcia, Hunter Brown – Fromber's, 29 right now, 30. He's going nowhere. Like, all this hope, and it is obliterated. And who's the next star pitcher? Who's the next star pitcher coming up from the? I assume Hunter's going to come back fine. I'm not assuming anything long term. I don't know why I shouldn't, based on their history. Who are the star young pitchers that we talk about? Like, wait till this guy gets up. I don't know a single arm that we talk about as being the next number one, number two, number three type guy on the staff. I'm sure the Astros will tell you they have somebody, but I mean, we don't see anyone popping. I guess maybe Eric Geddy, based on how he has been pitching in Sugar Land. But I mean, who thinks this is so? With all that being said, should they consider moving on from a Yordan Alvarez? Makes watching baseball a lot crappier. But I can tell you what, you and I both watched this from 2006. To 7, to 8, to 9, the descent into hell that took place. We saw what happened. You kept losing guys. You were late to trade them. You didn't get value back, and you fell completely in a hole.
It's feeling a lot like Carlos Lee. All right, we got a break. 713-780-3776 is the number to get in with us. come on, hang out. We'll get you in on the other side. Right now, we got HR&P. Basically, your business, I don't know where you're at with your business. I hope you're up and coming. I hope your business is on the rise. I hope now all of a sudden you're facing the problems like payroll, an expanded payroll department, an expanded HR department, you know, more tax issues, all of those things. Those are, you know what? It's great. It's great to have those problems because that means your business is flourishing. But when those costs, when you start to get to 15, 20, 25 employees, 30 employees, now those costs are, you know what? They're becoming a problem because you could do it better. You could do it better by hiring HR&P. HR&P can do your payroll better. They can do your HR better. They can do your taxes better. They can do it all better than you can do it. That's not what you sell. The reason that your business is going as well as it is because you're putting so much time into your business and not into those other things that are costing you money. Don't let that bring your business down. You owe it to yourself, your family, your all your employees' families as well to do the best that you possibly can. Let HRP do that for you. HRP.net. We love them. You will love them too. Have them call and give you an evaluation of what they can do for you. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, we said we'd get you in here if you call 713-780-3776. Keith is here. Let's get him in. What do you say, Keith? What's going on?
Hey, guys. Obviously, Astros aren't good. A lot of pitching woes. You know, the name that I like for the Astros to sign, but, you know, Brian McTaggart replied to one of my tweets and said it won't happen with Lucas Giolito. So I'm going to give you five other guys that they should sign to help with this pitching staff. Kenta Maeda is available. Tyler Anderson pitched great last year. Frankie Montas should be signed. He deserves to be on an MLB roster right now. John Gray, former Ranger, and Alex Cobb. Those are five guys that still got some juice in the tank. You know, Giolito might be too pricey. McTaggart said no. So you gotta look elsewhere. The Astros got to do something. It's April. You know, eight games in a row getting blasted like they have been has been pretty crazy. But I think those five guys, if you could pick one of those five, who would it be?
Any?
Tyler Anderson is up there. Frankie Montas. He's flamed. Frankie was a hot name just a couple of years ago. I don't. There's a reason they're all on the street, bro. I mean, yeah. There's a reason. Okay, let's see. What was Frankie's numbers last year? A 6.28. What?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I don't know. Frankie Montas, a 6.28. Okay. I mean, why is Tyler Anderson not on the roster right now? I haven't looked at Tyler Anderson. Let me see his stats. Last year you said he was great. Let's take a look and see if you were exaggerating just a hair. He had a 4.56, which is average. He started in 26 games. He had 26 starts last year.
141 whip.
Yeah, 141.
That fits on this team, actually, though.
That would be great on this team.
35, turning 36 this year. What could possibly go wrong with a 36-year-old arm?
That is trending poorly.
That is trending. Whose career is trending? Yeah, it's the second time in the last 3 years he's had a 1.4 whip, and he's going to be 36. What in the world could possibly go wrong with the guy who's headed sideways?
I don't know, dude.
Who's showing his age,
dude? I mean,
it's all the same.
It's just throwing a bunch of stuff against the wall.
Like when it was 2009, 2010, same thing. It feels so much like it. It's crazy.
It really
Although Yordan's not Carlos Lee, but it's the idea of you see the roster headed downward, and I don't see a little Altuve, like a little beam of light in 2011. Who's that little guy? Can you believe that little fella the Astros have? What a carnival this team is, putting somebody out there tiny like that. What is Drayton doing putting a tiny person out there? And then he turns out to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
But I hope, is Bryce Matthews that Hall of Famer now? Who's our little Hall of Famer just getting ready to?
Cam Smith.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Got a 900 OPS. I don't know if you heard.
All right, so we've got complaints that they want more draft talk and less less baseball talk.
Okay.
Less Astros
let's
talk.
Get
so
Spence, we come, let's get Spencer in
okay,
here
that's fine, yeah.
to talk Astros then.
Okay.
What's up, Spencer?
Hey, guys. So I don't know. I don't mean to beat a dead horse on this first part of the show, but, I mean, we are looking at an Astros team that, and it doesn't matter why, it doesn't matter who's to blame, you know, but the reality is we need to either spend like crazy or tear it down, because this team, this major league roster, does not have starting pitching depth. It doesn't even have starting pitching. Even if the injuries were taken out, you're looking at your ace of Hunter Brown, who I love Hunter Brown, but he's a five-inning pitcher. And after him, you had a bunch of question marks. And all those question marks are looking good. And you don't have pitchers down on the farm on their way up. And, you know, the Astros have not developed a starting pitcher since Hunter Brown came up in 2022. It's 4 years. And, you know, the backbone of this golden era was new players coming up. You know, it was an unbelievable run, one of the best in Major League history. And I'm not faulting Crane for not spending money on Framber, other arms and stuff like that. But if you're not going to spend, then you've got to tear it down, because like you were talking about, we're gonna dribble into this era like we did after Biggio retired. And so if he comes back healthy, you trade Pena. If he comes back healthy, you trade Hunter Brown. Because if you can move what you have now and get some good assets back, some good arms back now, then the rebuild might be quicker. But if you wait and wait and wait and wait and wait, it's going to be longer. And good luck signing free agents to come to crappy teams if you finally get to a point where you want to spend. So it was a great run. It was an unbelievable run. And I guess Altuve's home run in game 5 of the 2023 ALCS is going to end up being our last highlight of the era. So it was a great highlight, and it was a great run. So let's go get them.
Mm.
You know, it is, if you think about it.
We were at East River 9, and Altuve hit that homer to beat the Mariners, remember? Hit it just over the wall, and it beat the Mariners, and he came back home.
Well, actually,
that is the last highlight.
Well, they had the highlight of the home run against the Rangers too, the Jose Altuve's home run to ruin the Rangers. They just came back and beat us in the game 7.
Oh yeah, that was
because that was a hell of a home run too.
That was the year after.
Yeah,
or was it the year before?
It was years 23.
Well, the Astros. What about 24?
Wasn't it 23 or was it 24?
Oh, 24 was Detroit.
No, 24, right? we went out like
punks. 24 was
Detroit. Yeah, 23 was the one.
They didn't make
the
playoffs.
No, 23 was the Rangers year.
23
so
was the Rangers.
It looked like we were going to ruin the Rangers, and we fell apart in game 7. Was it?
6 and
was,
7.
Was it Framber? Who pitched in that game?
I think it was Javier.
I thought he was done. I thought he missed 23.
So 20.
I feel like it was Javier though.
22 was Altuve's homer.
22 was a title. Oh, against
or
the
was
Mariners.
It that same. That
yeah,
same.
That was. Yeah, 22 was his home run against against the Mariners in game 1.
No. It was
no,
game
who
th- 5.
No, who hit the home? Oh yeah, it was game 5. Who hit the home run in game 1? Was
no,
it
22? They won the World Series. 23 yeah. was 23 was Mariners and Rangers. They played them.
Oh,
both.
It's the same year.
Same year.
Okay, yeah. So we ruined.
That would have had to been.
Okay, and then the Rangers in the second. Yeah, that's right. And then the Rangers. That's right, because it was we were in Tennessee when they had that 18-19 inning game, whatever it was. So that was. No. No, wait a minute. The crazy long game against the Mariners was not in 22.
It was in 23? That wasn't 22, but that wasn't Altuve's homer. That was the end of the regular season. That's right. That was the end of the regular season when they were fighting to get into the playoffs.
When they weaseled into the playoffs in the last weekend.
Yeah, I think that was it. Anyway, They beat Minnesota and lost to Texas. They lost the last two games here to Texas.
But Altuve did
and
have
Javier
a home run.
Javier was the seven games, game seven
yeah.
starter.
Yeah,
I was there. I was in the upper deck. I remember we went to that game, to the game seven. We were in the upper deck that game and right behind home plate. And it was all over after like the second inning. The game was over after the second inning. Yeah. So, yeah, yeah. We did win three in Texas. Lost the first two here, just like the Washington series. Lost all four home games.
Yeah.
The only team that can do that, the Astros.
Does it bother you when, if you think about it, the way, you know how Drayton was, he never wanted to move on from anybody because he was so worried about ticket sales all the time. Like, well, we're not going to trade him because people want to see him. Like, that's what his whole thing was. He was so worried about ticket sales. Not realizing that winning brings ticket sales. I get a little concerned when Jim Crane seems to think the window's always open, and he says it. I feel like I'm not sure he is being realistic about his team. The window's always open for us. You got to know when it's closing so that you are able to move on from guys. And it's like selling a stock. When your baseball team is going sideways and you've had a good run, you got to be able to get out of your stock early so you recoup so that you're able to, you know, you don't lose all of your the cash flow you've built up or your cachet or just
your portfolio.
The longer you wait, we watched Drayton bankrupt his portfolio.
Yeah.
Into three straight 100 loss seasons. Like, he bankrupt his portfolio because he wouldn't move on from it. He kept trying to keep this window open. If Jim Crane does the same thing, we've seen this happen. History repeats itself. I don't want to see Jim make that same mistake. I don't love going through this kind of baseball. But the 17 run and beyond was incredible. Incredible. It's what it is. It's like a Kenny Rogers song.
You think this is a Kenny Rogers song?
Well, listen. Listen to his work. Count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough to count. I actually do count. Put chips in my
You got to know when to protest your property taxes.
Holding them.
That is holding. You know what? Don't hold off too long because May 15th is the date. But here's the deal. You sign up in less than 3 minutes. Have you ever been through a property tax hearing? I have been. I hated it. It's terrible. You think you're ready for it. And then they go, no, we disagree with your numbers there. That house was a lot newer. You're going to do comparisons. They have the technology for every neighborhood, not only in Harris County, but Montgomery County and Brazoria County. If you're listening, OwnWell knows your entire area, your neighborhood. They know how much your house should be worth, and they fight. And they fight for it. And they know how to fight, and they do this. They save on average, $774 a year just by signing up. It takes 3 minutes. If you could save $774 just by signing up, and you know what? There's some more. There's some less. You know, it could be your house could be thousands. I don't know. But here's the deal. If you haven't done anything in a while, chances are the government is, you're paying too much in property taxes to the government because the government is always going to try to rip you off. They achieve a 94% success rate in Harris County. 94%. That's crazy that the government is wrong that much. That's crazy. You got to do something about it. Don't wait. The deadline to protest is May 15th. For most counties, save money on your property taxes with OwnWell. Sign up in less than 3 minutes at OwnWell.com. That's OwnWell.com. Let them know I sent you when you complete your sign up at OwnWell.com.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
The ESPN 97.5 Occasional Invitational is April 29th at Sterling Country Club. Register on our website, ESPN975.com. Right now, put your four-person team together and get ready for a great day of golf. Lunch will be provided by Brownback Deli. Dinner from Valencia's, and of course, the beer will be Coors Light. Sign up now for the ESPN 975 Occasional Invitational.
Apparently, they don't hear clips on Twitch anymore.
Well, they hear clips.
Fix it, Dale.
They don't hear music because we're not allowed to play music on YouTube.
Yesterday, they couldn't hear couldn't hear anything.
Well, that's because
is that fixed?
A couple buttons weren't pressed down.
Fix it, Dale.
But I wasn't in here yesterday. That was your favorite producer, AJ. They can hear clips when we have it set up, but they'll never hear music.
Grinding!
They'll never hear music because we don't want to get
everybody
popped by
YouTube. Everybody in the club getting tipsy. That's Jaquan. Nick Caserio and James Lipford and Chris... Chris...
Broussard?
No. Blanco met the media yesterday. They're his assistant general managers. Chris Blanco... James
Chris
Lipford.
Basio, the pitcher for the Brewers back in
James,
the day.
Nope. Chris Blanco.
Mm-hmm.
James Lipford and Nick Caserio. The GM, two assistant GMs. They met the media yesterday for draft discussions. And there was a lot they discussed. And it was some of it was just Nick, you know, best player available on the board. And
Well, that's always their BPA.
Yeah, but he did go a little bit more into depth about how it's stacked vertically and horizontally, and they go through and they take them off as they go. And he did make mention about when you have a position, like he doesn't want to take a lesser player at a position of need than a good football player. Like the idea is just he doesn't like that. But luckily, it's also included the positions they need. Now, I will say this year, so there's a lot of buzz behind the scenes from teams I'm talking to, is that the Texans would love to move back. I don't think that's going to surprise anyone.
Nope.
The Texans are actively making phone calls like, hey, you know, on draft day, would you, because this is what you do. You make like Rick Smith set up the trade with the Cleveland Browns for Deshaun Watson in advance. Those were, you're already setting up your trade stuff. Hey, when draft day gets here, if this is this, you know, why don't we come up with a trade? And Sashi Brown said, okay. So that's how that went down. Right now, from what I understand, talking to some sources, the Texans are doing the same thing, but not about moving up, but about moving back. Why that makes sense? It makes sense because they need interior defensive line help, and there's a decent chance that one of two things could happen. Guys that they have on their board, you know, maybe Peter Woods, maybe Caden McDonald, they may be already off the board. Maybe the Texans are looking at a future right tackle and defensive tackles, and they have Max Ahanachor from Arizona State still on the board. Woods is still on the board. Caden McDonald's still on the board. Well, in that case, you move back and try to pick up a pick. You know, you hope that 33, 34, 35 wants to move up. You can move back, pick up a pick, and still get one of the guys that are in your cluster of players. It's a smart move. So I do think there's a decent chance that they'll find somebody who wants to move up. I think there's a decent chance the Texans move back. I don't think there's much of a chance that they move up from what I'm hearing. There's some teams actively trying to get some people in my space to believe that they like certain players. Just because they want other players to fall to them, but it's not going to work. So, sorry, that's not going to work, team. But the Houston Texans...
You won't be disappointed if they trade back.
No, a lot of
fans be disappointed?
Yeah, it always happens that way. But it's actually a smart move. If you've got a bunch of... You trade back in two scenarios. Number one, if a lot of guys are on your board, or if none of the guys that you want... Last year was a none of the guys on your board that you wanted, so you traded back. When Donovan Jackson went off right before the pick right before you. This year, it's going to probably be there's multiple players on the board. Because here's what teams are telling me. Once you get past the first really 13 or 14 players, like picks 15 to 40, teams are going to have just such varied grades on them. They're so varied this year that you're going to have teams who have substantially different draft boards than each other. You know, I've talked to teams that have third and fourth round grades on guys who are considered in the first round. I mean, that actually happens sometimes. So I've talked to teams who, you know, who believe Chris Bell is the number one wide receiver in this draft. And he has an ACL tear, so he's not going to go in the first round or second round. Could go in a third. There's a player with an injury, a medical concern that could cause him to fall out of the first. that people are not really mocking out of the first round. So there's a lot of things that could happen on draft day that could cause them to back up. This is why, and if you're the Texans, think about this. I do think a right tackle who has some, like Max Ihonatiori, he's the guy from Arizona State. He's a little bit raw, but that actually would make sense to draft a guy like this. And here's
why.
That's
what Schefter said.
Well, and the reason it makes some sense is because you don't have to play him right away. You don't want to play him right away. And this just happens to be with Braden Smith and Trent Brown. You're drafting a guy and you're not going to play him. I don't know,
there are many guys, maybe a defensive lineman, he'll play for this team. I don't know, there's a lot of positions.
I'm the same way. A defensive lineman is going to be rotational.
Yeah.
But that's really the only position other than wide receiver and running back where you rotate guys in and out. I had a team tell me they think the Texans will lock in on Jadarian Price. I'm like, that just doesn't make sense to me. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. You already paid. You got a pretty good one in Woody Marks. You just did a deal for Dave Montgomery. I can't see adding a third back. That doesn't make any logical sense to me. Like, I'm just like, that doesn't make sense.
Unless
you just consider, hey, we just want to have a dominant running game.
Is Montgomery a one and done guy? No.
No, he's going to be two. But you might say, Woody Marks, we can, we like Woody, but we just, it's not like Woody rushed for less than 4 yards of carry. They might say something
Woody
like,
was good at pass pro, though.
Yeah, and Woody's a good little player.
Yeah.
But you may say, we want a dominant running game for CJ. We want two guys who are plus. We went and picked up free agent offensive linemen that are really good run blockers. Like, this is something we really want to lean into heavy. I still can't see it. I think the most likely scenario is trade back or defensive tackle. And I think Caden McDonald and Peter Woods are the two you probably need to look at. Caleb Banks, the foot injury, his injury history, his inconsistency, he will not go in the first round from Florida. And he could fall to the third round, actually. So Kristen Miller is a potential Texan, could be a 28th pick. I mean, the Texans are in a position where they could say, we don't care if you think somebody's early. We'll take the extra fifth year on them, and we just want to go get a player we like. So I think the Texans are a real wild card at 28. But I don't think they're a wild card to draft a wide receiver. I don't think they'll take Ty Simpson. I don't think they will take running back. I don't think they'll take cornerback in the first round. Like, I say the Texans are a wild card, but when you really get to it, there's no tight end that makes sense there. You start running out of positions for them. Boy, the Texans could go in a lot of different directions. Really? Which ones do you think? Well, let's see. They're not going to draft quarterback. They're not going to draft tight end. Well, they don't have a tight end in that spot that you would draft that early. Eli Storrs, that's too early from him from Vanderbilt. He's the clear number two tight end. You start doing the math on it, and the only other position is linebacker. Defensive tackle and linebacker are the only two real first-round future right tackle. I guess you could say, who's your left? I guess you could say starting left guard. I take it back. Chase Bisantis from Texas A&M. I like Anthony Hill. I don't think they do. So I think, you'd have to look at somebody like Jacob Rodriguez, which would be early. But maybe a Jacob Rodriguez in the first round, but that feels just too early. Defensive tackle, Cade McDonald feels like a possibility. Peter Woods feels like a possibility. Kristen Miller, I'll say, is a possibility because Texans had him in for a 30 visit. So the Texans, they're not desperate at any one position. That's good. Nick did a good job. They're not in desperation mode. Here is Nick. So Nick Caserio talked. You've got some Nick sound, right? Here is Nick Caserio. What specifically was he asked here? What is he talking about specifically, Dale?
I don't remember. It was at
John.
6 o'clock when I found it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, here's Nick talking about the draft.
Nico and I have talked about this. Like, before the draft, try to put the team in a position where, like, if you had to go out there and play a game tomorrow, like, we'd be able to go out there and play and feel what we feel as a competitive team. So what happened for agency, honestly, has no bearing on what goes on in the draft. So the draft's the draft. We'll grade the players. And ultimately, like, we'll take the best football players, regardless of the position. I mean, that's what we've always done. I mean, that's not going to change, like, this year relative to previous years. So, I mean, we're a BPA team. I mean, that's what we do, take the best player available. There's a reason that we grade the players and put them on the board and stack the board accordingly. So you start hopscotching around. It kind of goes against the integrity of what you're doing with the process from start to finish. So I mean, our goal is to build, you know, the best football team we can for the 2026 season. I mean, there's some players that we added in the spring that, you know, hopefully they'll be able to help us. Hopefully there's some players that we add here next week, they'll be able to help us. There's probably some players that we're not even talking about that they're going to come in the building here at some point and give us some quality snaps, like Tommy Togiai has done at different points, like Naquan Jones did last year. I mean, going back a few years ago, Derek Barnett.
I mean, we're a BPA team. We're a BPA team. I did not thought there was some new league we were joining.
No. I mean, they're a BPA team.
It's like
team.
The Tiger Golf League. Is it still the Tiger? Do we have to tear down his statue?
Did they put up a statue?
Didn't they?
No.
For the Tiger Golf League, did they put a statue up outside that?
They don't have a statue of Tiger outside the Tiger Golf
League. Do they travel?
They will probably.
Does it go to different cities or it's always
Are you
going
to have to change the name
same
to
place.
The – Is it going to turn into the Phil Golf League?
Well, he's had his issues, too.
Okay. Who's clean that we can have, John? And they got TGL.
Scotty. Rory.
No, they're playing now. We need an older guy. Does anyone's name start with the – I just don't think
Jack?
The VJ Golf League is going to work. Does there anyone that starts with a T?
Corey Pavin got any skeletons?
No, just not good with Ryder Cup. You could be the Pavin Golf League, the PGL.
The Pavin Golf League.
Super snooze. It's already boring enough. It's already no one watches it anyway.
The Pavin Golf League is
well, you can't keep having Tiger's name on that. That's a problematic name now.
No, it ain't.
Yes, it is. That's problematic.
He's going to be fine.
At what point do you think Corey Pavin decided, like, there is a, it's before mustache and after mustache.
When did he decide that he was going to leave Daryl Hall and no longer be part of Hall & Oates?
When did he decide the mustache was done for? Has anyone ever asked him about
when he left Hall & Oates?
Like, is that a golf, the inside golf that people ask, hey, Corey, why'd you decide to get rid of the mustache? When it got too gray, is that you think that's when it happened? Where he's like, you know what? I don't want to have this gray caterpillar above my lip, so I'm done here.
He is gross without a mustache.
He's gross? What's wrong with
you? Yeah, look at him. He just looks like a complete failure.
Wow.
No. You insulted him a little bit. God. A little out of order yourself.
Now this guy looks like a winner.
Mustache?
Look,
well,
he's also younger,
he's
got
too.
A mustache. He's holding a trophy. Like, this looks like a winner here.
And he's younger. That helps.
Golly, there's a lot of pictures with him without a mustache.
Yeah, when did this begin?
Seems like it's been going on a long time.
I'm Googling. When did Corey Pavin get rid of the mustache?
You know what? There's not that
wait,
many. There was.
You think that's on the internet somewhere?
It has to be.
That's on the internet.
It has to be.
When Corey Pavin got rid of
Of course.
Okay. If you type it in Google,
he
AI will come up with
his signature mustache in 1995. Shortly
it's been gone that long?
Shortly after winning the U.S. Open at Shinnecock.
And then
Hills
he never
Golf
won
Club.
Another one.
He was known for his mustache throughout the 80s and early 90s, but he did shave it after 95.
After 90, so after it's been US gone that long, and you're worried about it.
No, I'm not worried about it. I was trying to figure out when it happened, and why did he decide to get rid of it?
Okay,
was he holding out until he won a U.S. Open?
There you go.
How
did we go from BPA?
Because
Corey Pavin.
Look at this, Corey Pavin.
That was
John Oates. Corey Pavin. Look at the mustache, the feet, the way it's built out, and John Oates. They're not that dissimilar.
Oh.
Now, Daryl Hall is not mad at Corey Pavin, so that's the one difference.
There is a difference.
Is there a Daryl Hall?
By the way, I took my wife and daughter to Air Supply at 76-year-old lead singer, but they both love Air Supply. The dude can still roll.
Yeah.
They're doing 133 shows this year. And they canned it. Now, the other guy, a little bit of a struggle. The other Air Supply guy, no one knows their names.
No.
Who's the lead singer for
Air
Supply?
And Supply. It's like the Goo Goo Dolls. It's yeah. Goo and Goo.
Yeah, no. Don't know.
Yeah, it is.
It's not Goo and Goo.
Who's the lead singer then, Dell?
Johnny Resnick. Don't try me. Don't play with me.
No one knows if that's true.
He's Johnny Resnick's the lead singer of the Goo Goo Dolls. Don't play with me.
No, he's talking about Air Supply.
Oh, I don't know. No, you said Goo and Goo. You said no one knows that guy.
Johnny Resnick.
All right, lead singer of...
the Good Goo. He's the good goo.
Lead singer of Incubus. Oh, that guy has a name that people know.
What's his name?
Yeah, that ain't...
Brandon actually. Something.
Yeah,
something
I don't
remember
like
his
that.
Name.
Huertas. Brandon Huertas.
It's not Brandon Huertas. Okay. It's Brandon.
Boyd. I went and saw the Good Goo.
It's what? You mean Johnny Resnick?
And the lead singer for Train.
Johnny Resnick was in PIL, Public Image Limited.
The lead singer for Train, you don't know.
That's not PAL. That's Johnny Rotten I was talking about.
No, yeah, what are you talking about? Now I'm trying to think of the lead singer. I was talking
about John Lyon.
And now I can't because you mentioned all these other things.
Johnny Resnick was in Nine Inch Nails. He's done some great.
No, that's not Johnny
Resnick. Trent Reznor.
Trent Reznor. What's wrong with you?
Same thing.
He's getting mixed up, Johnny Resnick and Trent Reznor.
Same thing.
I'll say this. Nine Inch Nails is one of the best concerts I've ever seen.
Really?
Pat Monahan.
I saw those two together. They were doing acoustic of their songs. They were great.
How do you feel about Resnick's face?
His face?
Yeah.
His face was fine when I saw him.
How long ago was it?
Maybe 3 years ago.
He's...
Why, did he change his face?
He's done some stuff.
Yeah. Don't do it, Johnny.
It's over. He's already done it.
Johnny, don't do no more stuff. Just leave your face alone.
He's John. Now he wants to be called John.
John Resnick?
No more Johnny. Too old to be a Johnny, I guess. But back to Corey Pavin and his mustache. 1995. I couldn't imagine it's been gone that long. I see that guy, I see that mustache and go, that's Corey Pavin.
Okay, can I ask you a question? Yeah, it is Corey Pavin and it's John Oates, but seriously, Air Supply was my wife, they had, when we went in, they had these earplugs, and my wife grabbed earplugs. I said, are you grabbing earplugs at a Hall and Oates? I mean, at an Air Supply concert? You're going to have earplugs at an Air Supply concert? It was then the loudest concert I've ever been to, bar none. And it must be because you got old people, and they turned the volume up to a million. Because it was the loudest concert that I've ever been in, Air Supply. And also, little known fact, I noticed that there were a high number of Asian people walking up to the concert with me. And I thought, cool, I didn't realize they had such a... and it was, 20-something, 30-somethings. I just thought, this is strange seeing any 20-somethings here. Then as I left, I noticed it was even more. I talked to one of the guys who is at Smart Financial. He goes, actually, Air Supply is one of the biggest karaoke bands. Like, in terms of the Asian community, the heavy karaoke community, love Air Supply. It's like one of the most popular groups of songs that you can sing in karaoke is Air Supply for Asian karaoke. And that they're, and people travel to go see Air Supply. I'm like, what? He goes, oh, yeah. Yeah, people come from all over to make sure that they don't miss an Air Supply concert. Like the people who are really hardcore into Asian karaoke. I'm like, oh, my, well, that's what I learned. Oh, I didn't do that yesterday. I meant to put that, I meant to have that for what did you learn this week in one sentence. I learned that. I blew it. I always blow it on what did you learn this week.
Yeah, you're not great at it.
You're not great.
What I've learned is that there's one man to go to when you need a great mortgage.
There is one man. Kent Jones.
Kent.
You learned that a long time ago, though.
Yeah, I didn't say I learned it over the weekend.
Oh. Well, here's the deal. I learned that a while ago, too, but I wish I had learned it when I was buying houses. And we bought a few houses, okay, over the years, moved, whatever, and we bought a couple of three houses. I don't care how many houses you have bought, if this is your first or this is your 30th, Kent Jones will do it better than you do because Kent Jones has done 1,400 mortgages. Kent Jones knows the game. Kent Jones knows the hacks. I love to say that. I love to say how he knows the hacks. He knows how to save you money. He knows where there are savings throughout the entire mortgage process between the realtors and the title company and the survey. He just knows. He just knows more than you do. So if you think, well, I bought a few houses, so I'm good. You're not doing it as well as you could if Kent Jones was doing it for you. Dream Rate Mortgage has been around since the 90s, but doing mortgages in the Houston area. And it's not going to cost you money to have a broker. It's saving you money, and in some instances, tens of thousands of dollars. You're looking for the best way to get that mortgage. Get it from a guy who does this every single day. Kent Jones at Dream Rate. 713-520-5626, 713-520-LOAN, or 975loans.com.
Dream Rate Mortgage, LLC. NMLS number 248-2473. Jaken Jones, NMLS number 356-118. Equal housing lender.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
To draw the line, you got the body, now you want my soul.
It's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So, I did not get to this yesterday, and we have not talked about this today, but we should, because we had this discussion, like, what do the Cougs do with all these guys leaving? Well, here's what you do. You go to the portal, and you go get your hands on Dedan Thomas Jr., who's committed to Houston, 6'1 junior guard from LSU, averaged 15.3 points and 6.5 assists per game. Major, major get for the Houston Cougars.
Another guy out of Kent State that's really good.
Yeah, so Houston Cougars going into free agency and getting it done.
Yeah.
That's a really, really good pick. You needed somebody big time.
I just worry that they know what they're getting into. You know, that they're going to be.
Well, I don't think it's a secret.
Well.
I think Kelvin Sampson has a heavy rep, as they would say back in the days of Warriors. Warriors. Oh, man. You orphans, you guys have a really heavy rep. Remember that when the Warriors were trying to kiss up to the you're the orphans? You guys have a really heavy rep. They didn't. I also have ABS tracking data, the statistics. Now, oh, no, April 14th. So it's updated. Here we go. Data updated. So I look at the ABS stuff, and this is what's interesting. There's some hitters on here like Teoscar Hernandez, former Astro, is 3-for-3 on challenges. When he goes to the head, he's 3-for-3. Marcell Ozuna, 3-for-3.
Good guy.
Pete Alonso, 3-for-3. Oh, great guy. And then Nick Kurtz, 3-for-3 when he goes to the head. But it really gets interesting when you go down. You have pitcher challenges. No one cares. There's not a lot of them. Catcher challenges. When JT Realmuto says that was a strike, sir, or that was a ball, he's right 100% of the time. 6-for-6. Let's see where the Astros are.
Oh, we're bad.
We're not in the top 20.
No, we're not good.
Now, MLB team ABS challenge rankings, right? So we go all the way down to the Houston Astros. 23rd batter, 10th pitcher, which has just never happened. So everyone's tied for 10th because 0%. So that doesn't matter. Catcher, 25% total. The Astros are 28%. They're number 28 in the league. So you're right. That doesn't feel like it's good. But let me ask you this. Here's where it gets fun. Umpire challenges. Okay? They're keeping running stats on umpires. How about this? John Tumpane, they've tried to check him 10 different times, 1-for-10. He's like, get out of here with this challenge.
Nice.
Take your whole-ass challenges out of my face.
I like that.
Oh, you want to challenge Will Little? Well, get ready to take the L because Will Little is winning at a 90% clip. 10 challenged, only 1 overturned. Eric Backus, you're 1-for-9 against him. Well, let's go to the other side.
Okay. CB Buckner's got to be the worst.
Hold on. Now,
there's another guy that was
Nick Lentz has been challenged 28 times.
Wow.
And he's been wrong 15 of those times. Okay? So when you challenge him, you got a 53% chance of winning. But they're substantially worse than Nick Lentz. How would you like to be, for example, Laz Diaz? You've heard of Laz Diaz, John.
Oh, my God.
16 times challenged, 10 wins against Laz Diaz.
Yikes.
He's 6-10. Dan
Iasogna? Yeah.
Sonia? He is 8-14 is his record. That's a 63.6% chance of winning, but they're not the worst. How about this? Hunter Wendelstedt, been around a while. He's got a 68% losing percentage. Challenged 19 times with 13 wins, but it still gets worse. Now I'm getting embarrassed for people. When Mark Wagner gets challenged 18 times, 13 times he was wrong.
Wow.
72.2%. But still worse, and these are just horrific. Chris Siegel, 22 challenges, 17 wins.
Wow.
He's 5-17, a 77% losing percentage.
That's awful.
And yet, Ron Culpa.
Oh, Mia.
3-11, 78% losing percentage.
But that's only 11, though. That's really good. They are challenging.
You mean, no, they got challenged 14 times. Oh. Well, Andy Fletcher is 2-15.
17 times.
2-15
is bad. Wow.
It's 88% win percentage against him. Chad Whitson, he's 1-10. When you challenge him, now it's only been 11 times, but I would rather, yeah. Now, actually, well, C.B. Buckner ain't great. He's only been challenged 9 times this year. He tightened his stuff up after the first weekend.
Wow.
He tightened it up. He's 7. Well, he's 2-7.
What, he got hit in the throat. Is he still around? Is he even?
Oh, I didn't know he got hit in the throat.
Yeah, he got hit. Really, he had to leave the game. He had like 4 challenges in the first inning, and he had to leave the game. I don't even know if he's alive.
Yes, he is. Although it's not going to be news on when he's coming back. Buckner's historically bad umpire. They've got a whole video series on this.
Oh, yeah. No, he's the worst.
I put a whole John Boy put together like a freaking 25-minute video of the worst of C.B. Buckner. My God.
No, he's
I would
awful.
Hate to have somebody just going after me like that. Umpire challenges are now a statistic, and man, oh man, how would you like to be like 5-7? People challenge you over 20 times,
and
you lose, and you win only 22.7% of those challenges.
Have we missed anything, Dell, today? Dell really hasn't been part of the show today. He's been really boring. What are you going to do in your show, your little show today?
Just stuff he's saving for his show.
Yeah, I know, right? What? I mean, you haven't even been listening to this show today.
I got to admit, him reading off ABS stats.
It's really...
I started to doze.
I'm starting to pop.
I'm not kidding.
I didn't mention how a UFL game finished because you had 2 defensive pass interference penalties. And they're like, game over!
Don't try to denigrate.
In an overtime, it was literally a second overtime.
You can't end the game on a defensive penalty.
In the UFL, you can't.
Except when it gives,
they literally,
gives you points.
What's his name, came on the mic, Dean Blandino, and said, he told the referees, okay, you know the rules here. If there's 2 defensive penalties in an overtime stanza, it is game over.
And the other team wins?
Yeah.
2? Wait a minute. In an
overtime? It was second overtime. So you can't just keep having defensive pass interference. So, you know, we don't want you, it's like in a pickup game, you're playing to 11 and you just keep fouling so they don't get to 11.
So what they do in the UFL is they have like a best of 3 or something. They have like a, whatever they call it, they call it an overtime shootout.
Yeah, right.
So if you commit the penalties to keep the team from scoring, they're just going to give the score and then you lose.
Gotcha. Have you guys seen, is there anything we missed today, Dale?
Well, we missed the segment because you think this is the penultimate segment, but it's actually only the second segment, but I got to combine to make things work.
Oh, I gotcha. We missed the whole segment. Well, we did miss that. Have you guys seen the groundhog getting his nails trimmed?
I saw that, and his partner was definitely afraid. Well, the other groundhog was afraid.
Look at,
was afraid?
Watch. Every time they clip his nails, the other groundhog is like, is this AI?
I don't know. I didn't look that deep into it, but I saw it. One groundhog is getting their nails clipped.
How could you possibly?
They're standing.
He seems to have already accepted his fate, while the other panics with every snip.
Yeah.
How could you possibly know if it's AI anymore?
You can't.
Like something this basic, they could easily fool you with AI. It's one thing if Tiger's turning over an Escalade in the middle of the fairway and running out with a bottle of Woodford Reserve. And chugging as he goes and hugs Rory. I saw that one yesterday.
This is from France News 24. You can't trust him.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't know where the original video is supposed to be from.
And finally, look at these 2 groundhogs, one getting his nails clipped.
No, the groundhog acts like a scared heroin from like the 1950s.
You think it's fake?
Puts his hands to his or paws to his face and goes, oh, no. How could this be real?
You can't tell anymore.
No, you don't.
Can you run it through a filter?
I don't know.
Who
how
knows?
You can...
Why would you even want to? I just want to live in a world where I think groundhogs are afraid of getting their nails clipped, just like dogs are.
Like dogs are.
Yeah, dogs.
Dogs are.
Have you heard the dog howling?
Yeah,
every
overdramatic
time
dog. Yeah, yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, because my wife used to butcher our dog's finger. Like her dogs, when she used to clip nails, not the ones we have now, like they would bleed sometimes. I just thought I would run too. You're making their paws bleed. What are you doing? Why are you trimming their nails like that? Trim them like they're knuckleball pitchers. Leave a little something there.
No, they gotta. You gotta get rid of them. Case them with the little kids. You got to. All right. So you're gonna combine here?
Yeah.
There we are. We are done. We got news of the week coming your way next. Don't go anywhere here on ESPN 97.5.
Time now for News of the Weird.
People are weird.
With John and Lance.
That's real weird.
So here's one that hits close to home, Del, to you. A 75-year-old grandma had her face stomped after asking a neighbor to pick up their dog poop. Yeah. Do you think, Del, now, aren't you glad you did not find that guy that would have stomped your face? I mean, if a 75-year-old grandma can get their face stomped, maybe you could too.
So here's the thing. While that is a horrible story, the person who was the perpetrator, well, the person walking the perpetrator, the dog, was some 16-year-old kid. If I wound up getting my face stomped by some 16-year-old kid with one of those TikTok haircuts, I deserve it.
What's a TikTok haircut?
You know what those... Your kids will probably have the haircut in the.
They all
some
have
point.
Poofy hair.
Yeah, that type of haircut, poof. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Mason's poofy
they
hair.
All want to look like... well, who is it? Justice Winslow. They all want to have Justice Winslow hair.
Justice Winslow?
That's maybe not accurate, but
probably
something like
not.
That.
Justice Winslow.
LaMelo hair.
Maybe that. Okay. How about this? Here's a feel-good story. Costco is checking out a new checkout system that will take just 8 seconds. 8 seconds for you to check out at Costco. How about that?
Yeah, so I saw that. So what they're going to do, you think it's some kind of incredible technology. All they're going to do is have scanners who are scanning as you're waiting in line, like you're fourth in line. They're just going to go beep, 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 beep. They'll just scan what's in your
bag.
Oh,
I thought that they would.
No, it's not. I thought so, too. Like, oh, my God, that's incredible. What's this text? I read the whole story. It's just somebody with the scan gun just boop.
Before you even get up there.
Before you get up there. That's fine. Whatever goes fast.
That's right.
That's fine.
Well, you better do it fast because that guy in front of you's already got it done.
Do you go get the boxes, the empty boxes, and put stuff in the boxes?
No.
You don't?
No.
I do. My wife hates it. I'm like, yeah, you just want to bring stuff in one at a time?
Then you got to get rid of that box.
So what? I guess that's fine. No. That's fine.
I already got to get rid of enough boxes that are delivered to my house every day. I'm not asking for more boxes. Thank you. I'll bring it in one at a time. One at a time. Do you know what activity helps to lower your risk of cancer? And the health department is asking you to please do this more? Any idea?
Say it again.
Which activity helps you to lower your risk of cancer?
And they're going to say sex?
Well, it's like that.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Harry Palm?
That's right. It's spanking Hank. Slapping Henry.
Go ahead. Yeah. Roughing up the suspect. Go through them all. Go through them all. Get them all out right now. You got a little bit more time left.
Lowers your risk of cancer. So if anybody ever walks in on you, what, you want cancer?
No, I don't want that. No, oh, that's what you use.
That's what you use. You want cancer? I don't. Because this is helping me right now. No cancer. I'm cancer free. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be cancer free. Three men arrested in California in a $1 million Lego heist. Do you think that you should maybe? How are you going to get the million back? I don't get it. I don't get it.
So a $1 million, are they stealing special Legos or did
they
steal $1 million worth of Legos?
$1 million worth of Legos.
They probably stole some kind of stupid Star Wars Legos.
Off an Amazon truck.
Oh, so it was just regular Legos, but $1 million worth of.
$1 million worth. Inland Empire. I mean, what is what these thieves? Kit Kat bars.
Yes, you can eat those.
Two tons. How many? 12 tons of Kit Kat bars. Hey, how are you going to get your money back?
Preparing for the end of the world. Maybe they're doomsday preppers.
Sell them one. The kids outside the groceries, oh, you're all selling Kit Kat bars?
You pack them away for the eventual end of the world. That's one of your food sources going forward. Kit Kat bars.
They'll melt.
Not if you have... Not yet.
Oh, you got to air condition them too?
Yeah, possibly.
How costly it is to steal that many Kit Kat bars?
Have you seen what Doomsday Preppers are up to? They're ready. Take your Kit Kat bars and have them ready for the apocalypse.
Okay. No, thank you. I'm out on Kit Kat bars and Legos.
You say that now.
Why, steal $1 million painting. Why would you steal $1 million worth of Legos? One sale.
A painting doesn't help you once the nukes drop.
Well, yes, it does. You get the money. That you sell the painting. You fence the painting.
Money will
and then
no
you
longer,
buy whatever you want.
Money will no longer be the way you go about life once the war
You're
world
doing
ends.
It now, Del.
No, I'm talking
Money about, still has value.
No, I'm telling you, this is my bit, John. They're doomsday preppers.
Doomsday preppers.
They're stealing Kit Kats for the end of the world.
Yeah, because you eat Kit Kats.
Yeah,
that's
what I said. That's
okay.
Ignored that.
Do you know
how in prison are
do you
they
know
using...
how fat you'll be at the end
Who
of the world?
Who cares? It's the end of the world.
In prison, what is commodities? Food.
Yeah.
Coffee. Packages of noodles, Kit Kats, right? At least that's what it says on TV. So, what Del's saying is right. We could end up in a Mad Max kind of
you
world
know
where you better have
Del's,
some.
Doesn't matter.
Survival
am I,
world
am
is going to be.
Am I eating or not eating? I'm eating.
No,
I'm
you're not going to have a it's lot not, of food. You're just going to be. Your Kit Kats may be your food for the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get like a 1,200 calories in. Now, they're not good calories.
No. If you just eat chocolate all day, I mean, I don't want to live in that world.
It's not the only thing.
What everybody's a bunch
of fatties.
Be prepared.
Be prepared. And you can use that to trade for other stuff as well. Like you said, bartering. That's the new money. You're going to be bartering stuff. Be ready, everyone. The world's coming close to ending.
We're done. I'm sorry. I feel terrible. If the world comes to an end, do not hide with Del.
I'm not the one doing the stealing. I don't have the care to do it. But for the people out there who are preparing, I see you. I respect you.
Uh-uh. 10 o'clock on the dot. Time for us to go. Hope you enjoyed the show. Mopey and Mapes are next. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, everybody.
ESPN 97.5.